Alrighty, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12 with me this morning. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. We'll begin reading in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, in verse number 49. Luke, chapter 12, verse 49 and following. Jesus said, I have come to send fire on the earth. What will I, if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against her daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God, the King James Bible, Father. Father, we just pray for a blessing this morning from Thee, from Your Word, from whatever you'd have to say, Father. Father, I just pray that you would empty me of myself this morning, fill me with the Spirit of God that indwells me now. Father, I pray that we'd hear from you, because anything that I would have to say would be nothing but vanity, would be worthless, Lord. Father, just encourage us, teach us today. Help our hearts and our minds to be receptive. Father, help us to look into thy word as a mirror, not only to be hearers of the word today, but doers, Father. Father, now we commit this time into thy hands, and we want to praise you and give you honor and glory ahead of time for what you're going to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This morning I'm going to preach a message entitled The Great Divider. The Great Divider. We see from our passage this morning that if Jesus Christ were here today, he would not be for the ecumenical movement that's taking place in the world today. You know, this movement that we see where all religions are coming together under the guise of peace, this one world religion, of course we know it's of Satan. We see it under the names or the guise of such things as promise keepers, the charismatic movement, the one world movement, the new age movement, whatever it may be. And what else is more deplorable is we see tolerance being preached from pulpits all across America today to embrace all religions, no matter if they are teaching false doctrine and damning people's souls to hell. Jesus said in our passage this morning, in verse number 51, he said, suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth? He said, I tell you nay. I don't come to give peace on this earth, in other words, but rather division. But rather division. Now, the division he was talking about, what causes this division or separation is the truth. That's what causes division and separation, that Jesus is talking about the truth. Now, as we look at what is the truth, Jesus said we know over there in Matthew chapter 6, a lot of times it's called the Lord's Prayer, and it's not, it's the disciples' model prayer. But in the Lord's Prayer to the Father in John chapter 17, in verse number 17, when praying to the Father about his disciples, Jesus says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So then we've discovered in the Word of God has shown us that the truth is none other than the Word of God. Then we see the truth or the Word of God, as we see in John 17:17. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify means to separate or divide. Amen. And we see over there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it talks about the word of God as a divider. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Bible tells us this morning, for the word of God, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrows, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts, or heart. So we see then that the word of God divides or separates. Not only does it divide or separate, we are told in the Bible that the truth sets one free. Amen. Jesus said over there in the Gospel of John in chapter 8, he said to some Jews one day, if you turn there with me just for a moment, John chapter 8, John chapter 8, as we turn there in verses 31 to 32, he says here in John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. We also know from the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1, amen, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. We read in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. We see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Amen. This morning, what we want to attempt to do is we want to see from the Word of God areas where Jesus has come to cause division or separation in a believer's life. That's what we want to see. We want to see how what he said that, you know, we go back there in Luke chapter 12 and verse 51. He said, suppose you that I come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. And we want to look and see in the Word of God some of the areas in a believer's life where Jesus has come to cause division or separation. Number one this morning, we want to look at one of the areas in our lives as believers that he has come to separate us from or divide us from is our families. Amen. It's hard. Amen. It's hard. But it's hard, but it's something that we must do. We need to separate. Amen. We need to separate from family members that are unsaved. Amen. We see there in Luke chapter 12, we just read in verse 53, the father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. We see also in Matthew chapter 10, if you turn there with me, please. Matthew chapter 10. We see in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34, Jesus again is speaking, and he says, think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Amen. Jesus is saying a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So Jesus has come to bring division, amen, to separate you and I as believers from our unsaved family members, amen. As hard as this may be, amen, and it's very hard, amen, because we have a earthly ties to our family members, amen. And it's hard, amen, to separate from them. Amen. Not to be in their company. Amen. It's very hard to do this. But it's something that you and I must do to separate from those family members. Amen. That are not willing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That are not willing to get saved. Amen. We need to separate or divide from them unsaved family members. Amen. Now we're told here the reason that we are to separate, amen, from them is for service. For service in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. He that loveth father, a mother more than me, is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Amen. Jesus, we're told in Colossians, is to have the preeminence in all of our lives. So we have to separate ourselves, as hard as it may be, from family members, amen, from unsaved family members that are going to keep us from serving the Lord. See, the division has to come, the separation has to come, because He is to be first in our lives, in everything, amen. As He said there back in Luke chapter 12, He's not come to bring peace, but rather division, Jesus Christ said. He's a divider. He's not for this one world religion, people coming together, amen, under the guise of one of world peace and so forth and so on. He is here to divide, amen. He wants us to divide and separate in different areas of our lives. And one of them is with our family members, as hard as it is. We still try not to give up. We're still trying to win them, amen. Win them to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. But we need to divide when they want to get into some of the other activities, amen. We're to separate. We're to divide. He is to bring division, and I know, amen. And I know in my own life, right now, amen. I have a brother that I love dearly, but we have very little to do with one another. Because he's on one path, amen, that's going to lead us to destruction, and I've told him that many times. I've witnessed to him, I've given him gospel tracts, but he just won't come. He just won't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If not yet, I haven't given up, amen. I praise God, I had a mother, amen, who was unsaved, and I had the privilege and the honor of leading her to the Lord. For a time after I got saved, my wife was not saved. We didn't get saved at the same time, amen. I can tell you we had some battle royals, amen. But I praise God that she got saved, amen. I praise the Lord for that. But it's a hard road to toe, amen. I know it is. I've been there, amen. I know what it's all about, amen. It's tough, amen, to be ostracized, amen. It's tough, you know, to be laughed at and scorned. But Jesus has come to bring division, amen, and it's going to start at your house, amen. It's got to be with your family, amen, as hard as it may be, amen. He's to be first. So number one, we see the first area that he's come to bring division or separation is from unsaved family. Number two, the second area that Christ has come to bring separation or divide us from, amen, is from the world, from the ungodly, amen. We see over there in 2 Corinthians with me this morning, chapter 6. Told you in Sunday school we'd be looking at these verses again, amen. But we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 and following, Paul tells us, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's very clear. Amen. A yoke is to be together. When we think of a yoke, we think of animals being yoked together to plow the field. Amen. We're not to be associated together with these. We certainly can't avoid unsaved people, but we're not to fellowship. We're not to be in association with them. And of course, he asks a bunch of rhetorical questions. Amen. With a contrast within each question. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And of course, the answer is none. And we go right on down the line. What communion has light with darkness? None. We see the contrast with light and darkness. What concord hath Christ with Baal? Baal is the devil. They should have no concord. They should have no association. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? A believer should have no part, no association with an infidel, an unbeliever. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? No agreement. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And here we have the separation again. Wherefore, come out. Come out. That's a command to separate or divide yourself from the world. Wherefore, come out from among them. Who's the them? All these things that we've been talking about in the previous passages. The unrighteous, the unbeliever, the light, the darkness, the devil, the infidel, amen, the idols, amen. Wherefore, come out from among ye and be ye separate. See, there's a separation. The come out, the division. Saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. So we're to come out. We're to come out. We're to separate. We're to divide from the ungodly. Now, you know, Satan will want you to, you know, he's a thinking man, Satan. He'll put thoughts in your mind to try to get you to justify this association, that association. But it's very clear. You know, he'll try to put a nice little wrapper upon things and try to tell you, well, this is okay and that's okay. It's not okay. Come out. Come out. Come out, Paul says. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Amen. Then we see in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Paul says, and have no fellowship. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It says no fellowship. No fellowship. There's no room for anything in there. No fellowship. It means no. We all know what no means. Amen. No fellowship. Not only are we not to have fellowship, but we're to reprove them. Amen. Tell them they're wrong. Amen. I'm not going to do this. You know, I don't care what you get to offer me or what you want me to do. It's wrong. It's wrong me in the eyes of God and Christ. Amen. And I'm not going to do it. Have no fellowship. Look at in Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. I'd like to show you as we go in the Old Testament and the New Testament that God's principles do not change. Amen. Just because we go from one testament to the other, they're still there. Amen. Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 11. He says, depart ye, not once, again, twice, depart ye, go ye out from hence. See, there's a separation, a division. Depart ye, you, that means you and I. Depart ye, go ye out. There again, a separation, division, from thence. Touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her. Go ye out again, separation, division. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Amen. Okay, we're under the Old Testament here, but you and I are the vessels of the Lord now. See, God doesn't reside in a building or a temple. Amen. The only reason that we have the presence of God here this morning is each one of you and I, as believers, have the Holy Spirit or God inside of us. So when we're together, God is here. When God is everywhere, don't get me wrong, but when we're not here, really the presence of God really isn't here. Amen. So we are the vessels of the Lord. Amen. We are the vessels of the Lord, and we're to depart from the world and the ungodly, and go ye out from hence of the world. Amen. See, that's what we're to do. We're to separate from the world, the ungodly. That's how God, Jesus Christ has come to bring division, not peace, not to get everybody together in this one world movement thing, amen. You know, these promise keepers and these charismatics and so forth and so on, amen. Another verse in the Old Testament is in the Psalms, chapter 1, verse 1, if you turn there. Let's look at that for a moment. Christ has come to bring division, not peace, to bring separation, amen. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. It starts out with blessed. Blessed. Blessed is the man. I want to be a blessed man. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. And he tells you some ways that you and I can be blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, when we think of walk, okay, we think of our Christian walk, amen, and how we should conduct our lives, in other words. And we should not conduct our lives the way the unsaved or the non-believer conducts their lives. So we're not to walk in their counsel the way they walk, or go to them for advice, or go to them for counsel, amen. We're not to do that. We're to separate. We're to divide. And then he goes further on. He says, not only are we not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, when I think about stand, that word stand, it's when you take a stand, that's taking a position on something, in other words. In other words, you and I should not stand, amen, together, elbow to elbow with the unsaved, amen. I'll give you an example of this, amen. You know, I will preach it, and I believe it, and God's against it. Abortion is wrong. Amen. It is wrong. It is wicked. It's a sin before God. But I'll tell you one thing. I will not go and stand and block abortion clinics with the unsaved just for the cause. Amen. Amen. That's wrong. Amen. I'm not to be yoked, amen, with them. I'm not to be with the unbeliever for a good cause. Amen. You know, good, they're against abortion, amen, but there's another agenda there with that, and they're mostly Roman Catholics too. But see, we're not to stand with them. Even though Satan may say it's okay, hey, look, this is for a good purpose, we're not to stand with them. We're not to take the same position with them, amen. Then we see here, amen, he goes on and he says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, we're not, again, to be, we've seen the progression here. First we're walking, then we're, you know, which is movement, then we're standing with them, and then before you know it, you'll be sitting right next to them, amen, sitting down with them. He says, we're not to sit with the scorner, and the scorner is those who rebuke the things of God. That's what a scorner is, who has nothing to do with the things of God, doesn't want to hear about the things of God, you know, uses God's name in vain, and you say it and so forth. That person doesn't want anything to do with God. Don't sit with them. Don't stand with them. Don't walk with them. We have some Old Testament examples of God dividing his people from the world. One of them that comes to mind is when God called Abraham over there in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham was living in the land called the Ur of the Chaldeans. In that land that Abraham came out of, the people there were they worshiped, they were ungodly, they were idolaters, they worshiped all kinds of idols, amen. So we see then, we have God calling Abraham, amen, who's the father of Israel, out, amen, from the ungodly, from the world. And that's a picture, amen, in type, of you and I being called out of the world, amen, to be separate, to divide from the ungodly and from the worldly people. Also, another picture in the Old Testament comes to mind is the Jews being delivered from Egypt. If you study the Bible, you know that Egypt is a picture, a type of the world, and the Egyptians were ungodly people, amen. They worshipped the creation, amen, the creation, that's the things that God created, instead of the Creator. And that was witnessed, if you go back and you not only see the movie The Ten Commandments, amen, but you study a little bit about the Egyptians, they had all different kind of gods for the different animals and the elements, amen. In fact, the Nile River was considered very sacred, was the source of all life. So here we have God delivering his people out of Egypt into the promised land. He separated them, amen. Separation, division, amen, to call them out from the ungodly, from the world. So we see then that Christ has come to bring division, to separate us not only from our unsaved family, amen, not only from the world or the ungodly. He also wants you and I to separate or divide from carnal, amen, or disorderly Christians, amen. Let's look at that for a moment. God wants us to separate and divide from carnal Christians, Christians that are not living for God, amen, the way they should be, amen, or disorderly. Look it with me, first of all, in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse number 6. He says, Paul writes, now we command you. Okay, he's commanding you and I. He's writing to the believers at the church of Thessalonica. But this is a Pauline epistle. It's written to the Christians back then. It's written to you and I today. He says, now we commend you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself. Withdraw yourself. See, there's another word that means separate or divide yourself from. Withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. In other words, you and I ought to withdraw ourselves from Christians that are not living for God the way they should be living for God. Amen. You know, that are into worldly sinful practices. Amen. We need to pray for them. Amen. We need to pray for them. We're not just to talk, but we're not to associate with them. We're to withdraw ourselves from them. Look at also, we want to look at in Philippians chapter 3 with me. See, the scriptures are clear. We're not just taking one scripture out of context. We're building. We're taking line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 17, it says, brethren, again, Paul is writing to the saved, to the believer. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them. Okay, mark them. Okay, we think of making an X or mark. In other words, separate. You know, look at that. You've got to mark those people that he's going to talk about what they're doing. In other words, separate from them, mark them, see who they are, amen, divide from them. He says, mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And again, Paul is talking about carnal Christians, Christians that are not living for God, that are into, you know, worldly living, minding earthly things, not seeking first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all that goes together. We're to mock them. We're not to associate with them, amen, but we're certainly to pray for them. Then we see once more, amen, in Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, Romans 16, I get Romans 4 on the brain for some reason. Romans 16, chapter 16, in verses 17 and 18, Romans 16, 17 and 18, again, another verse, Paul writes, he says, I beseech you, and that's, beseech means to beg, amen, I beseech you, brethren, again, he's talking, he's writing to the saved, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Again, mark them. In other words, you don't go and take a magic marker and make a mark on them. But spiritually and visually, you see who these people are. You mark them. You don't associate. You separate. You divide yourself from them. Again, avoid them. Avoid them means to separate from. And then in verse 18, the reason we're to do that is, for they are such, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by the good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Amen. Divide from them. And in fact, we see Paul, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and while you're turning there, I'll give you a little background. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes in the letter to the Corinthians, he's rebuking them, okay, because he's rebuking them not to have fellowship with a man who was committing fornication with his father's wife. In other words, this must have been a stepmother, in other words. So here Paul is rebuking them not to fellowship with this man, because he's having sex with his father's wife. Amen. And we want to look at this rebuke in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. You know, I've had the cases here where I've had, you know, two people living together, amen, they've come to the church and want to come to church, and I tell them, it's all right, you can come a while, but, you know, being together the way you are is a sin against God, and, you know, you got to get it straight, either get married or separate, give them a little bit of time. If they don't, then I say, see you later, amen, because we're not to have fellowship with them, amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, he says, I wrote unto you, in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, okay? Not to company with, to separate, in other words, divide yourself from. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, that ye must, then must ye needs go out of the world. Amen. Not to company, he says. Not to company, amen. There, and he says in, verse 11, but I have written unto you not to company, there it is again, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or railer or drunkard or an executioner, extortioner, for such is one, no, not to eat, not even to break bread with them, amen. Then he says, for what have I to do to judge, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. And he's talking about people that are not saved, okay, not in the church. God will judge them. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Again, put away from among yourselves. Again, an instruction to divide or separate from the ungodly, the disorderly Christian, amen, the carnal Christian. So we see then, as we go down and we look at some things this morning, God wants us, he's come to bring division, divide, separate from unsaved family, from the world, from the ungodly, and from disorderly Christians. Now, the next thing he separates us or divides us from, praise the Lord, is from hell. Jesus Christ came so he could divide or separate you and I from hell. I praise God for the day I got saved. I hope you do too. Let's look at that for a moment in the parable of the wheat and tares. Turn with me to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus Christ came to separate or divide you and I from hell. Matthew chapter 13. This is illustrated so clearly in the parable of the wheat and the tares. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. We read, and another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came, sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sirs, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he saith unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto me, wilt thou then go, that we go and gather them? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares. So we see here, gathering ye together is a division or separation. Gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn. Burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So we see here, and we're gonna explain a little bit what he's talking about, but here we have a separation between the tares and the wheat. The tares are going to be burned, the wheat is going into a barn. Now let's look and get some answers to what he's talking about here, Jesus. In we're still in Matthew 13. We want to look in verse 37 and following. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Okay, that's Jesus. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's the saved, amen. That's you and I. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So it shall be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So here we have is the picture, okay? Jesus tells them ourselves here that the unsaved, amen, he's come to separate you and I from the unsaved. The unsaved someday are going to come. Their time is coming. They're having a blast right now. They're laughing it off and ridiculing you and I and so forth and so on. Okay, but the time is coming. Jesus promises that he's going to send the angels, and they're going to be taken and cast into hell. Amen. But you and I are going to be gathered into our Father's barn. Amen. We're going to heaven. Praise the Lord. So we see that one of the reasons Jesus Christ came was to separate you and I from hell, from going to hell. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. See, all these things, these other earthly separations we see are a picture of that. Amen. There's going to be a division. You and I are to divide ourselves right now. Amen. Right now from the unsaved. Not right now from our unsaved family, from the world. Amen. And so forth and so on. And from Christians that are disorderly. But praise the Lord. Amen. He's going to separate us. There's going to be division between the tares, which is the devil's children, amen, and the wheat, which are the children of God. The tares are going to be burned into hell, amen, and we're going to be gathered into the Father's barn, amen. The tares of the unsaved will be cast into the lake of fire someday. But praise God for that separation. Praise God, Jesus Christ has come to separate us from those tares, amen, that we're not going to be with them, praise the Lord. Then we finally want to see here this morning, as we talk about separation and division, why Jesus Christ has come not to bring peace, but division. He's come for a future reason, to divide us, not only from hell, amen, but in the future, he's come to divide and separate us from the tribulation, amen. Praise the Lord for that. There's going to be a time, the Bible tells us, that this on this earth that the world has never seen, ever, even since the beginning of time. It's going to be the tribulation, amen. The last 3.5 years are going to be, which are of the 7-year period, is called the Great Tribulation, amen. There's going to come up an Antichrist, a one world leader. He's going to make a covenant of peace, amen, with Israel, and for 7 years and a half, at the middle, the 3.5 point, he's going to break it. All hell's going to break out, literally en route on this earth. The Jews are going to be persecuted worse, I hate to say, even than the Holocaust during World War II, amen. It's going to be worse for the Jews than it's ever been, amen. And God's wrath is just going to be poured out on this earth, amen. But God has come. Jesus, God has sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to separate you, to divide us from that tribulation, that we won't have to go through it, amen. We see this spoken about in Luke chapter 17. Let's turn to Luke chapter 17. Jesus speaks about this, amen. He talks about the rapture, the separation, amen, of the Christian out of this world. Separation or division from the tribulation, amen. We see in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 34, Jesus says, I tell you, that night there shall be two men, one in bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. The two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Division, separation, amen. Separating. Jesus Christ has come to separate you and I and divide us from the great tribulation that's just about to take place, amen. I don't know the exact hour of the day. We're not supposed to know, but it's very clear. It's drawing nigh, amen. But we're going to be separated. We look into the Old Testament for pictures or types, antitypes, foreshadowing of this event. And I think of Enoch, amen. Remember Enoch walked with God, amen. I think it was for 300 years or some sort like that. And he was taken out. He was translated. It said he walked with God. In other words, he did not see physical death at all. And one day, God just took him, body and all, right up to heaven, just before the great flood, the flood of Noah. Amen. See, that was a foreshadowing of the rapture of the church, Enoch, being taken out before this great flood, before this great destruction. We see another picture of foreshadowing of that. When Lot and his family were taken out of Sodom and Gomorrah just before destruction was rained down from God on that city. These are pictures of type of God separating the church, all believers, the body of Christ out, dividing them from the world and taking them out before this great tribulation hits this earth. Amen. We've seen this morning then that Jesus separates or divides the believer from the unsaved family, the ungodly or the world, amen, the disorderly Christian. He separates, he's come to separate us and divide us from hell. And we just saw it from the great tribulation period, amen. Separation, division. Regardless of the philosophy of the world in our society today and trying to push all of mankind together for this one world religion, this one world peace thing, it's a bunch of malarkey. It's not going to happen. You know, you have this pontiff, this vicar of Christ, which is blasphemy, this man, this sinful man running around this earth proclaiming to be Christ's representative on earth, amen, which is a bold-faced lie, trying to bring the world together. And of course, people think, isn't he a wonderful man? He's trying to bring world peace. If people would only open up the Word of God, the Bible, and they'll see that the only way that there can be world peace is when the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, comes and returns, and he physically touches down on this earth. And he will, the Bible tells us, he's going to touch where he took off. He went up, he ascended to heaven from Mount Olivet, amen. When he ascended into heaven, he's going to return again on Mount Olivet, amen. But at a different time, when he stands on that mountain, that thing's going to cleave in two pieces, amen. There's going to be a valley there, amen. But he's coming back, amen. There's only peace can come through the Prince of Peace, amen. My dear friend, as hard as it is, as tough as it is, and it gets tough, amen, to divide and separate from the world, from people, from Christians that are ungodly, it gets pretty lonely, let me tell you. It's a lonely time, but praise the Lord, we still have the Lord if we have nothing else, praise God. And praise God, and glory hallelujah, we're separated from hell, amen. The wrath of God is not going to be poured out on us on the day of judgment, amen. And we're not going to be here. We're going to be separated. From this earth, from this world, when the great tribulation hits this world like with a vengeance like you've never seen before. Let's stand for a word of prayer.